What's up with Jessup? It's the only way to wake up. We state our views, state facts, and then afterwards we make up. From politics, business, to lifestyle, let's get this. Jessup Jong knows all the facts. He has no missed list. This podcast is your place for breaking news and hot takes. It's the only way to wake up. What's up with Jessup?
I'm learning the importance of aim and a substitution for habits. I'm learning this from my pet, my dog. Learning how to train a dog. I learned that there are a lot of analogies and parallels because we are all animals, and the way we work in terms of cues, rewards, and triggers, all of that. The reinforcement mechanisms are quite similar in the rudimentary sense. And if you go to the deepest sense of a trigger and how habits form, I think that animals, as animals, we are quite similar. And so it's maybe dehumanizing to think of us as mere lab rats or dogs, but you can definitely distill some insight from what you learn from your pets and other animals' experiments. And so what I've found is that the importance of aim. So when you're trying to substitute a habit, what do you do, right? When you're trying to get rid of a bad habit, what do you do? Usually, when you're trying not to watch television, you just do that. Try not to watch television. That's why usually the New Year's resolutions fail, because they try to do something that you've been doing for the rest of your life. So if you're 23 years old, for 20 years or 19 years, you've been doing that. You've been watching television for for your whole life, and it is hard to just stop watching television. It's so ingrained in your body that it's very hard to just completely stop cold turkey. And so people invariably fail at losing weight, exercising regularly, things like that, just because they're not used to that. It's not a habit yet. And so the way I'm looking at changing habits is, as I've said, quite different in the approach. In fact, I already assume, and many people, habit scientists or Charles Duhigg, if you read James Clear, they all pretty much assume that the habit will continue on, that the person is already stubborn, and that will happen regardless. Well, that's a quite cynical viewpoint. How would you be able to improve from there? If you already assume that nothing will change, how can you change? And the answer is this. From that perspective, what you're trying to do is, assuming that you already do what you do, how can you substitute that out for something that meets the same desires? You can act upon it with the same triggers and gives you the same rewards. Just the activity changes, right? So if you're trying to watch television, you may be bored, you may be stressed, trying to relieve stress, trying to relax. Those kinds of things are the triggers. And so the reward is relaxation, comedy, fun, laughter, a sense of belonging. And all of those things are good benefits. It's just that most of the time, watching television just goes too far, in the sense that you spend 3-4 hours. But the benefit is clear in the short term, in the sense that you are relaxing. So you are trying to substitute that habit with something else that brings similar value. And so what I have found, and this is not the full answer, I'll keep you updated on my progress, but I have decided that I would watch the audio-only versions of television. And so I have an application. It's kind of like a YouTube Music or something like that, or YouTube Premium. It's where, you can watch the video, but you can turn off your phone's screen so that you're not really glued to your screen. And so you can do other things while you're listening, pretty much like this podcast. So if you're listening to this podcast, that's kind of what I am trying to do. I'm trying to move away from the visual, audio-visual, to audio. And so I try to listen to fun podcasts, or I listen to the audio version of the television. And so that is one thing where, the triggers are the same. In fact, I am doing the same things, but it changes it so slightly that I am able to stop when I want to. And that's a really important distinction, because that is what distinguishes a constructive versus destructive behavior. And so I am trying to do that. And the reason why I bring this up is because I have found that substituting behavior is very effective with dogs as well. My dog chews on everything, and I've realized I can't stop the dog from chewing everything, mostly because it's a puppy, and so it's trying to develop its jaw. That's a developmental goal and a behavior that every puppy does, so it would be quite unnatural for the dog not to do so, not to mention its teeth are growing, so it probably has some pain or some kind of urge to relieve that stress with chewing. So oftentimes what the dog would do is pretty much chew on my hand, chew on furniture, chew on pretty much the floor, try to eat the floor, eat branches, all kinds of things, eat cardboard, just everything and anything in its way. So as you can hear, as we're talking right now, my puppy is chewing on a chew toy, some kind of rawhide or bone shaped thing. It's not an actual bone, because I've heard bones can fracture and they are bad for the digestive tract for puppies. So it's chewing on a chew toy, and it's really quiet. Usually the dog is always restless, barking, things like that. And that's another habit I want to train. But right now it's doing very well, and it's substituting chewing my hands and all other things with playing with the chew toy. So this is a very useful substitute that I did not realize I could provide. And oftentimes, this dog is stubborn just like me, and so it doesn't realize that it can do that. So unless provided with this option, it continues to chew on my face and my hands and everything in its path. But when I provide it with that option to do so, then it completely changes, because now he's got a job to do. And so that brings me to the importance of aim, right? Because, there's this urge to do something. For me, in watching television, it's the urge to relax. In my dog's case, it's the urge to chew. And when you're given a job, a specific task to do, you find purpose in your life, and you can keep busy and do something productive compared to something destructive, right? Because that would be giving you, in the case of the puppy, it gives you good jaw strength. It also gives you some nutrition from the bone, artificial bone, and things like that. So that is why the importance of aim changes a lot. My dog has a lot of energy, and it needs some kind of outlet to release all of that energy. And what is that going to be? Is it going to be my furniture and my hand, which is destructive? Or is it going to be this chew toy? Is it going to be at the dog park? Is it going to be running around with me, which would be exercise? So that's why, with so much power, so much, you know, that's kind of what I like about my puppy. And it's like it has so much energy, and when funneled and channeled well, things can really work out for you. And that really, I think, applies to you as well. You have so much life energy than you think. It's just that you disperse it in places that you don't need to. You pretty much waste it. You talk about drama at the workplace. You talk about drama among friends. You listen to gossip for celebrities. You watch the news and then talk about different things, criticize, complain. All of these things are expending energy where you could be working towards your actual goal, right? I see the other things as destructive, whereas working towards your goal, doing something about it, not just complain, doing something about it as something that's constructive. And so if you can really channel that power, it becomes powerful. And what happens to me is I often have a rebellious fit with my productivity. What happens is I have this urge to be productive. It's almost like the chewing urge of a dog. I am productive. I do something. And if I channel it the right way, I do just great amounts of work. Whereas if I experience something that is not the best experience within work, or I get into a conflict with a friend or with family, it becomes a rebellious sort of productivity where you actually rebelliously procrastinate. You do other things. And, you know, as constructive as one person can be, with stubbornness, you can be that much destructive, right? It just depends on where that energy is channeled. And that's why aim and purpose is important. Because without purpose, all of that urge for productivity is not channeled into a focused manner. And if that is the case, that is just, you know, just randomness and chaos. And so it's fascinating, right? Even in gunfire, if you can shoot very accurately, you are a marksman, and you get awards for marksmanship as a true sniper, right? People pay top dollar in the military to be the top sniper, whereas you have such power and ability to shoot, but you just don't focus that aim, you are pretty much committing manslaughter because you are firing everywhere else. And so I think that pretty much applies to your productivity, where if you can channel it correctly, you can accomplish magnificent things. It's just you need that aim. And you know, a lot of development psychologists or biologists have said that, you know, aim and pointing at something is human beings' one of most rudimentary desires. With the eye, eyeball, it's very easy for anyone else to see where you're pointing at because you have whites in your eyes and you have black in your pupil. So, you know, it's very easy to see what another human being is looking at. And that's part of what makes human beings' eyes quite unique. And that's part of the reason why we like puppies, because they have such big eyes, and then you can see the white sometimes. Regardless, that shows the importance of aim, and you point at something mostly because you want to, in the ancient days, catch that animal. That's why aim is important. You throw things at your aim so that you can gain food, and food means survival. So aim is, in the ancient times, truly a method for survival. Without aim, you cannot survive. And people have made maps in trying to learn aim and direction so that they don't get lost, right? Because if you do not know where you're going towards, what your purpose is, you could be walking in a circle. Whereas if you have that map and can point towards where you are going, you have an aim. And with that aim, you can go towards where you would like to. And you have that visual cue in that map. And so all of these things, your eyes, your map, your finger, index finger pointing at something to catch, all of these things help you find aim and purpose. And so I hope that this helps you realize the importance of aim and purpose, the importance of channeling your powers into one thing that you would like to achieve. Then you will be able to unlock the unlimited potential you have. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you liked it, don't be too greedy. Share with other people so that other people can learn from the same information that you do. So share this. I also have two books out, especially the book on Amazon. You can search my name, Jessup Zhang, on Amazon, and you will find the book Human Suffering. The Kindle version is out, and the paperback will be out soon. It is delivered to all regions and locations. So if you're interested, let me know, and you can buy the book. If you've bought the book and you're a fan of the podcast, please feel free to send me a message of what you thought about the book, and I'll feature your question or comment on the podcast. So share the podcast and buy the book. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.